Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Ringside Rundown Podcast. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is the best tag team partner you could have in wrestling podcasting. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, what is going on? It was a very eventful day for me. If anybody who listens looked at my Twitter, I somehow managed to escape Ticketmaster with tickets to WrestleMania, so I am excited, to say the least.
They are letting you in the building.
Hopefully they'll let me in the building both nights, too. I managed to get the two-night combo, not without some stress, because we all know Ticketmaster is terrible. We talk about it in the pre-production meeting. There's a little bit of a story that goes along with these tickets, and I wish it was a good one, but it's just a frustrating one, to say the least, but it's not going to surprise anybody. So I was at work, obviously, because where else would I be? And obviously this is like a big deal for wrestling fans. So it's like, it's already high stress, high anxiety anyway. So luckily I was at my desk most of the morning, so I didn't really have to worry about, oh, I'm not going to be able to sit and look at the phone or whatever. And of course, 10 o'clock's right on our break anyway. So I'm sitting there waiting for like the countdown timer to go away. I was signed into my account. I had the credit card ready and everything, like every step they tell you to get ready for. So then comes, with about 10 minutes before the pre-sale, the join the queue button, or like the waiting room or whatever it is. So I'm like, okay, great. Let's just get into this and we'll worry about the rest of it later. I go to hit the button, loads for a minute, does a spinny wheel, whatever. And then all of a sudden it pops up 503 temporarily, service temporarily unavailable.
Oh no.
And I'm like, what does that even mean? I've never seen that before on Ticketmaster. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's just my app. It's outdated or something. And I check that. It was updated. I'm like, okay, maybe it's something with the app. I wouldn't be surprised. So tried it on Google Chrome. Same thing. So now I'm starting to panic a little bit, because it's like, you guys, literally 10 minutes before this goddamn pre-sale starts, you start your shit already. And so I'm slightly freaking out at my desk, because I'm like hitting the button. I'm like refreshing it. I'm trying to get in either on the app or on my Chrome. I'm just like, I swear to God, if I miss these tickets, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be mad. So, and then we know how it is. It's WrestleMania. It's going to be expensive. So I'm like, I'm already freaking out with how high do I go? Like, what's the budget? And of course, mom's like, oh, just use your judgment, which, you know, someone with anxiety doesn't really help a whole lot. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to have to end up probably like panic buying something, because people are nuts when it comes to these tickets. So I'm like, we already had it decided. We might as well just go for like technically the upper level for us. Cause it's like, you know what? We don't need to be close to the ring. It's like, the fact we're just even there, we don't care. So by some miracle, I get into the wait room on the Google Chrome, for some reason, not the app, which is like, you know what? I don't fucking care where it is. We're in the waiting room. Fine. I'm like, you know what? At this rate, there's probably thousands of people ahead of me already in the waiting room. Yeah, 211 were the, that was it. Those are the only people in front of me, 211. So clearly I just got lucky and kept hitting the button enough. So I get in, I look at the map. I always do that thing. I don't know about you. I always like look at the seating map. I don't go by like the list where it's like, these are the best seats for the best price. I'm like, no, I want to pick my seats physically just so I can see where I'm going. So I'm looking around. I see like they have the club seats. I'm like, yeah, that's a little much for two nights. And then I look down on like the 100s. I'm like, yeah, that's also a little much for this isn't going well so far. So I finally find a pretty decent, like, I think if it's 221 row 5, seats 1 and 2 are like right on the aisle. So I'm ready to look at this and see like 200, 250 a ticket. I click on it. 150 a seat, or 140 a seat.
Not bad.
And I'm looking at it, and I had this moment where I'm like, did I accidentally click on night 1 or night 2 separately? Because this just seems very cheap, because essentially it's $70 a ticket per night. And so I'm like, did I click on something wrong? Like, there's no way. I'm like, I don't have time to think about that. So I like hurry up, throw everything in. Then you get the long ass waiting, like, oh, hold on, we're getting your tickets already. And I have bought enough tickets off of Ticketmaster. I was just waiting for, oh, hey, sorry, those are gone already. Pick something else. Somehow by a stretch of a miracle, we survived. We made it. So at least one half of the Ringside Rundown will be at WrestleMania next year, and to say I'm excited about it is a bit of an understatement, because this was, we've even talked about it on the show before, this would have been, especially living in Pittsburgh, would have been probably my best chance at going to a WrestleMania. So, oh, I'm excited. Now I just have to hope and pray the card is WrestleMania worthy, but just the fact that I'm going is, I'm super excited.
Yeah, definitely. It's the wrestling Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
So anytime you could just be a part of that atmosphere when basically all the hardcore wrestling fans from around the world descend on this one place, it's a special thing. So, you know, I'm going to definitely try. We're going to definitely try to move some finances around and see if I can also make it happen so that the full team is there. And it would most likely be, if I can make it, the first time that you and I have been in the same room, the same building.
Yeah,
probably we'll meet up
same general area. Yeah. I mean, hell, even if you can't make it in, it's not too far from you, is it? Philadelphia?
No, it's literally like 45 minutes.
Yeah, so see,
maybe we'll do something beforehand.
So WrestleMania or not, the team will finally get together after, Jesus, how long's it been? 2 years already, I think. Yeah. So it's finally happening, everybody. We're getting together at some point.
I'm glad that even though, like, the Ticketmaster experience sounds pretty awful, you know?
Yeah, Ticketmaster just sucks.
Yeah, they don't make it easy, and then they charge you all these fees.
Oh, God, the fees. Don't even get me started with the fees.
That's insane. But, yeah, I'm glad you got your hands on some tickets. You know, it's in Philadelphia, WrestleMania 40. Gonna be a big deal, so definitely excited for you.
And now hopefully we can just get you up there too, but this is the one time willingly I will go to Philadelphia for anything, because as sports fans know, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia do not get along at all. Right. So you know what, I will make the exception for this, just this one time. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a good weekend for sure. So the countdown is on.
Awesome. Well, as you can tell, if you're a new listener, this is a podcast about professional wrestling, where Shay and I discuss what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. We banter back and forth. The most important part is we open up the lines of communication between us and the listener to send in questions. Basically, send us questions about anything you want us to talk about wrestling wise and we'll do so. We have a good crop of questions. I feel like we don't have the quantity that we usually have, but we have the questions that we have this week are really, really good. We're probably gonna there's a lot of drama surrounding wrestling. Last week it was more drama surrounding women's wrestling and, you know, how everything is plagued, and then this week it's more drama, now it's just surrounding everyone. So if you're into rants about that stuff, this one will be a good one.
Yeah, just looking at Twitter the last few days, it's sad that we've gotten to the point now where we'll look at this and we're like, well, now I know what we're talking about for this week's episode, because it never ends.
It really honestly never ends. I think that was one of the messages I sent you when we were talking on Twitter and DMs. I was just like, it never really ends.
And just when we thought it was, it kept going, like, well, obviously we'll get into more specifics later, but it was just like, it seemed like I was sending you things and then I would send you more things and then you would send me things, and it's just like, oh my god, can we please stop for like a day?
Yeah. So let's get right into it. What's the first question we have up?
Alrighty, we're gonna just go in order here. So I'm gonna start with Mom's questions this time. So she, as we've talked about before, listens to Busted Open Radio a lot, which, if I had a radio around, I probably would too, just, you know, get to what's going on. And she brought this up to me last weekend and wanted me to talk about it on the show, so obviously she asked. Bully Ray brought up a point that I'm sure not many people really noticed. When Adam and MJF were doing the, like, oh, we're gonna main event Wembley, we're gonna do All In, blah blah blah, whatever. Mom is dead set, because Bully Ray is dead set, on the fact of, do we think that there was a catch in the contract that Adam didn't read before he signed? Because she said, you know, with MJF, there has to be something. Mm-hmm. So if there's a catch in that contract, what do you think it is?
Interesting. I don't know. I read that same theory a couple weeks ago on Twitter. Somebody like randomly tweeted it up, and I thought, that's interesting. The thing is, if there's going to be a little, I guess you would call that a little bit of a swerve, it would probably happen the night of All In, because now apparently they have two matches on the card, one on the pre-show and the main event, which I vehemently thought it was the dumbest idea ever.
Yeah, we don't like that.
Yeah, but whatever. So I'm thinking something would happen during that pre-show match that would flip the switch in MJF's head, like, uh-oh, Adam Cole is once again now a threat to my championship. Because, like, this is the weirdest thing about this story is, like, again, like I've been saying for weeks, instead of taking the logical path of doing the turn like they should have did from the get-go, Tony Khan wanted to placate to the fans, and I really don't think they have a plan in place. Like, I don't see it. You know, maybe they do, and I'm just stupid, but I really don't see it.
And what happens if they win the titles?
Exactly. What happens if they win the titles, and then you have the match, and yeah, the match could be good, but there's no drama, there's no intrigue, you know, it's just two dudes wrestling for the sake of wrestling, which I'm usually fine with, but in this case, there should be a story attached to it.
Well, I feel like maybe the drama would come if something, you know, happens during that match, and by, like, we'll just say, like, a stroke of luck, they win the titles, then it's like, oh, there's clear animosity, and now you two are gonna have to not only at some point defend those titles, but now you're going to have to go against each other. And depending on what happens, maybe in the match, you guys are not too fond of each other right now. So I guess that's the drama they could go for, question mark. But even then, it's just like, that's getting to a bit of a stretch at that point. Like, you kind of already did that where those two didn't like each other and they were thrown together for the tournament. So it's not like you haven't done that before a little bit, but I granted it would go the opposite of how it started, but it's just like, I just have a bad feeling they're gonna win those titles, because then what happens? Like, what do you do? Is like, it's just gonna make the main event feel weird to me if they do.
But in the grand scheme of things, like, who cares about ROH? Like, I'm sorry, like the revival in the beginning was a good idea, but then it just kind of lost steam.
At least we still have Athena, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, she could be so much more useful on Dynamite or Collision.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it's just, well, and it's kind of like what you and I screamed about. I feel like we screamed about it last week, but we could scream about it again. You are taking a spot from a completely different team to be on that card. I don't think that's very fair to be like, hey, I know you guys already have, you know, the main event of the biggest event in wrestling history, if we're going to call it what people are calling it. But then it's like, that's not enough. Now it's like, oh, hey, we got to put them on the pre-show too, just for the lulz, I guess. So it's like, okay, but you could have easily given that to any other team. Like Butcher and Blade, like somebody, not just Adam and MJF, just for the sake of, oh, get the crowd started early. It's like, the crowd's not going to have any problems getting started early. It's the UK crowds. We've seen them before. They're not going to have an off button, like, at all.
Right. As long as you get them in the door early enough, you know, where they can get to their seat, they can get comfortable, maybe give them a little bit of time to to visit the concessions on the way in. Yeah. Everything will be fine. That's my biggest problem with this idea is, like, you're taking a spot away from anybody who's, like, clawing and scratching and doing everything they can to get on the show. Again, this is your tagline is the biggest event in wrestling history, and by the financial means and the amount of tickets that they sold, that hits the mark.
Yeah, it's gonna break a record.
Yeah, and it's like you want to do the right thing and get as many people on your roster onto this card. Like, I would, if I was in charge, I would have to explain to everybody, like, look, not everybody is going to get on the card, but we're going to do our best to put the right people on the card. So, like, you're taking a spot away where you could, you know, there's so many better matches you can have with a tag team like Aussie Open, like, that you don't need. Why are you putting your main event in a tag team on the pre-show? I've never heard of this being done before.
No.
It defies every sense of logic in my brain. I don't know what the hell is going on. I just don't get the logic of it. And I swear, it's like, I feel like the diehard AEW fan base is, like, trolling everybody at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're just, like, they are oblivious to the fact that none of this is making sense. And it hasn't made sense since that match at Collision where they lost to FTR. It basically boils down to what I've been saying from the get. I've been saying this phrase for the past week in my head. And it's basically, get your money up, not your funny up. All right, because they're doing these little vignettes, like the dodgeball vignette. I didn't laugh. I didn't find it funny. I wasn't entertained by it. And it's like, they are, by the time this comes out, they are less than 2 weeks away from All In, their biggest show in the history of the company in the history of wrestling. And this honestly seems like half a clusterfuck, half a mid-off, where it's just not hitting, you know. And as far as, like, what could possibly be in the contract, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, they'll do something silly where, like, MJF will hit Adam Cole with the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and then he'll exclaim, like, he put in the contract that it was no disqualification, and we come to learn that as the match is happening, as they get to that spot. I just feel like something hokey like that. But the chances of something like they put something in the contract that Adam didn't read, it's in the realm of the possibility, but I just think it's too far-fetched and too out of the creative realms of possibilities for AEW.
They just, at least in this situation, I don't think they have the wherewithal to do that. Mm-hmm. And if they do, props to them. I'll say I was wrong, but there's just some decisions with the show I'm not understanding. My biggest thing, and I know this is just, like, me being biased, but also, with regards to the women's match, which by the time this comes out, we already know who the fourth one's going to be. It's going to be Britt. It's not going to be the Bunny. I like the Bunny, but it's Britt. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. But you mean to tell me, in a fatal four-way for this title, you have 2/3 of the Outcasts and fuck Ruby, apparently. Like, that just doesn't sit right with me, where it's like, you literally have 2/3 of the Outcasts in this match, and Ruby's just going to play the cheerleader, I guess? Like, unless she's hurt or something, which would make, I guess, some sense. But it's just like, you literally don't, I don't know. It's just, I just don't like that, because it's like, really, you could have put Ruby in there. But then again, we haven't seen Ruby wrestle in how long?
yeah, leads me to believe something may be wrong.
Which that I'll accept. That's fine. But if you mean to tell me she is 100% healthy and you're literally just making her be the cheerleader for the other two, I don't like that at all. But even just the lead up to the Fatal Four Way, you could pretty much pick who was going to be in it anyway. So it's just kind of like, sure, I hope it's a good match. Just for our sake, so we don't have to see the internet community continue to just nail Britt to a wall, because she's apparently the source of all of AEW's problems, I guess. when in reality, it's somebody else completely different, but we'll get to that in a few questions. But it's just like, oh, they're making me nervous, and they don't have a lot of time, so... Oh, hopefully they just miraculously get it together within the next 2 weeks, because if any of this stuff right now is an indication, yikes.
Yeah, it's just, that's my biggest thing is, like, I don't want them to make a massive card of just matches, you know, like...
Yeah, just for the sake of it.
Don't do like a 12-14 match card, but it's like I want to make sure like the important people who've been working don't feel left out. But that's the sad reality of it is, again, not everybody can be on the card and be in front of that many people. So they all really, you know, have to work. And, you know, again, this is why that tag team match in the pre-show doesn't sit right with me, because even on the pre-show, like we said, you can have, you know, a 2-hour pre-show, right? And then the last 20 minutes will be for a match. But by that time, that arena should be filled, you know? Yeah. Not really filled, but a good chunk of people, you know, where you can still get the ambiance, you can still get the feel for how big this event is going to be. So it's just like, I feel like it's taking spots away from somebody on the card. I don't get the logic of it. I just feel like Tony Khan's been reading his timelines and reading his mentions too much. You know, going with what the fans want. Instead of just like, again, like I've been saying, if they would have followed the logical path, the idea that they want MJF and Adam Cole as a tag team, that idea would have dissipated in fans' minds within 2 to 3 weeks, because that's our attention span.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I feel like Tony's too busy worried about some other things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we have a question about it, but it's just, it feels like things are kind of, I don't want to be so dramatic, because it's not as bad as like WCW at the end of its run or anything like that. But it's just like things, like, they just seem off with everything that's going on. But I know we have more questions about what's been going on there.
Yeah, which we will get to shortly. But going back to the whim a little bit, Mom would like to know where Jade Cargill's been. Taking a break, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it looks like according to her Twitter feed. But like, I don't know if it's storyline or if it's work, but it seems like she's done with AEW, you know. Yeah, and that's what she's making it seem like. I'm sure Tony Khan doesn't want that to be the case, because he sees her as a viable commodity. I just feel like she was thrown into the fire too soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which left her open up to a lot of criticism and a lot of scrutiny. And again, this is a person that's didn't come from the wrestling world. You know, she just kind of was thrusted into, and then they made her a big star, put a lot of shine on her. But again, that leaves you open to criticism and scrutiny that you don't understand because you don't come from the wrestling world.
Yeah.
I feel like if she would have understood, like, and eventually she probably got it, you know, that these are just mindless whatever on the internet. Uh-huh. You know, so it's just like, again, that could have been it. But again, I don't know. I haven't heard anything other than what she's saying on social media kind of seems to ring true, is that she really at this time doesn't have any intention of coming back to AEW.
Which honestly, I couldn't tell you if that's a good or a bad thing. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like she just needed more time. We've been through this 5,000 times on the show, that she should have never been the first one to win the TBS title. I still think it should have been Ruby, because at least she had the experience, but they fell for the trap that they fall for all too often, which is the shiny new toy that everyone gets excited about, and then they wonder why the shiny new toy doesn't work out. So maybe sometimes you kind of have to, like we said, be logical, and clearly we are not capable of doing that right now, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't. It's a big thing that's going on there.
Yeah, you get a, let's put it mildly, to say the least. Alrighty, so what were our thoughts on the Jack Perry RVD match? I thought it was pretty decent.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good. Offensive or anything like that. I was really surprised to see how well RVD, you know, is moving around.
But he had 50 something.
Yeah, like, but he is such a, he takes such good care of his body. You know, he still maintains at least his cardiovascular workout stuff.
Yeah.
And he obviously isn't working full time, so he allows his body to rest and recuperate. And that's why you were able to see him pull out these moves and things like that that reminded you of the old RVD. Like you said, it was a pretty good match. It definitely kept me engaged and kept me watching. I was happy that it went that way. Hopefully, like, they could build off of this with Jack Perry and keep it going.
Get him a new song.
I don't know if that fits the vibe of what he's going for. It'd be really cool to see him sort of have like an in-ring like little scuffle as best as you could with Taz. I think that's what hopefully they're leading to, at least a little bit, where maybe Hook can get some redemption. Yeah, but it's all up in the air. But as far as the match with RVD, I think it was great. I think RVD takes such good care of his body with the way he works out and the way he keeps himself in shape, that for a guy that's 52, that was a pretty impressive showing.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I just kind of hope this, like you said, this whole thing with Jack kind of turns around, because right now it is not doing it for me at all. But yeah. I think Taz is gonna have to do something, because I specifically remember him talking during that match, and he said something about like, yeah, this is really starting to piss me off now. So I think we're gonna get that sooner rather than later, hopefully. And then
that would maybe be pretty awesome.
Jack attacks Taz, and that's how Hook comes back, maybe. Or I feel though like he would have to do some serious damage to Taz for me to be like, okay, yeah, I believe that you would totally take out somebody like Taz. Like, he's going to have to beat him within an inch of his life, essentially, because
yeah,
if you actually think that someone could take Taz out like that, then yeah, that's kind of silly, but
yeah. I agree. There's ways you can go about it, construct it, and make it happen, you know, and again, it'll put the massive heat, as they like to say, on Jack Perry, and hopefully it'll work out. But you know, it's one of those things that remains to be seen. We just have to keep tuning in.
Yeah, that's which is what they want us to do, so I guess it's kind of working a little bit. All right, this one I knew you and I were gonna be very happy about. Can we now stop wasting TV time on the Jericho Appreciation Society? Well, it doesn't exist anymore, thank God.
Yeah, it's done.
I just still hated that whole segment, not for the fact of the segment itself, just the fact that it even existed, because I've been screaming for weeks now ever since I advertised that thing. We do this every goddamn time there is a Jericho stable of some sort. everything's going great, and then there's some dissension, and then the cracks start to form, and then we start to panic, and then we get the whole, oh, we need the team meeting, guys, like the emergency meeting, mm-hmm. and then everything goes to shit. So this is literally like the same thing we've seen before, and it's just dumb. And the worst part is, we're not going to get rid of him, because now he's probably going to go with Kallus, so it's just like, great.
Yeah, the segment was really, really long. Like, everybody, too long. Yeah, everybody got a chance to say something, but ultimately, it led to them saying, I'm done in JAS, which everybody knew that was kind of what the end game was like, and that's what kind of made it not as entertaining, is there everybody knew what everybody was going to say, like the fans knew everybody, and you know, each person was going to exit from the JAS, and that's basically what happened. There was no hook, there was no little curveball, no little swerve, nothing. Or anything like that. It was just, that's the way it was, you know.
I mean, and I guess you're no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they probably could have cleared that up last week and did like a backstage segment when they were in the dressing room or something like that. They didn't need to make a whole opening segment for the show. It felt very like WWE-ish kind
of. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I just, the only thing that you would even count even kind of sort of as a swerve is the fact that Sammy still like doesn't like hate Jericho like the rest of them did. It's just like, oh, you know, when you figure it out, maybe I'll be here. And it's just like, oh, come on already. Like, seriously, we're still going to do that shit after everything he's done. You're still going to kind of be attached to him. Like, oh, give me a break. Yeah, it just went on too long. We knew what was coming. I'm just like, yeah, was it nice to see him all alone? Yes. But also it's like, okay, what a shock. We saw that coming 2 weeks ago, but sure.
Yeah. So. It's just that whole episode of Dynamite, just like,
so
it,
weird.
It didn't hit for me. It was like, it was just very, very average.
Yeah. It was just, it seemed off a little bit, but I couldn't exactly figure out why.
Yeah, and it sucks because, like, we don't want to be negative about AEW because there's a good contingent of the fan base that's already negative. We want to be positive, especially going into this big show that they're having in less than 2 weeks.
You know, that's the only thing.
Yeah, we want to be excited, you know, we want to be hyped up, but we're left scratching our head and going, nah, that's not really my cup of tea, you know?
Yeah, which is why I'm getting very nervous about the show, to say the least. All right. So this is the reason we're here today. And this is one of a few questions that we've gotten, but this is Mom's last question. What is going on with our favorite pain in the ass? CM Punk, please just stop talking. That seems to be his problem, doesn't it? Like, for the listeners who may not know, Punk's at it again, which is, I know, shocking. If I remember correctly, it kind of just started, like, what, the beginning of this week? It was just, like, it came on like that. First, it started with the whole Hangman thing, like, all the stuff he said after Collision. So he kind of cut a promo on Hangman, and it came off as very... oh, what's the word?
Confrontational?
Yeah, you could say that. So there was that. And then, God, it's like, I want to try and make sense of it, but it's just a mess. Because then it was, well, and this is all supposedly, we just see what we see on the internet. Usually if I see Sean Russap saying something, I pretty much, he's legit. Like, he's not like some of the others. So if he says something, I'm like, all right, this is not good. So then it started with Hangman was supposed to be in North Carolina for a promo for Collision, but then they had to take him somewhere else. And so everyone thought that Punk kind of said, I don't want him here, which apparently was not the case. But that was the case with Christopher Daniels, who apparently was in the Brawl Out or had something to do with Brawl Out. And so Punk pulled the shit of, well, if Ace Steel can't be here, then he can't be here either kind of shit, because he wants a drama-free, and I try to say that without laughing, drama-free backstage. And
that's the oxymoron right there.
Yeah, and then you had, oh god, Ryan Nemeth, pretty much Hollywood Hung, pretty much saying that he tweeted like Punk's the softest guy alive, and of course Punk didn't like that. So then they got into an argument backstage, and I'm just like, it's starting all over again.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces to this.
It's too much.
Yeah, he said the thing about Hangman Page. He basically kind of buried him after Collision went off the air again. But this time he did it just for the live audience, as if somebody isn't going to have their phone out recording this whole thing. So
yeah, exactly.
He buries Hangman, and then he kind of feels bad about burying Hangman. He actually, apparently from what I read, he actually texted Hangman and apologize.
Yeah, because it didn't come across the way he wanted it to, and it's like, really, that's what you're gonna say? Like,
what was your intention then? Like, you know, like, if it's not leading to anything, what was your intention? All right, so and then we get to the whole Ryan Nemeth sort situation. He was mad because after he cut that promo about counterfeit bucks and, you know, your favorite wrestlers are soft or whatever, Nemeth tweeted out, you know, he didn't mention Punk, but he was alluding to Punk being the softest man alive or he's ever met or whatever.
Which...
And then he corners Nemeth backstage at Collision and again gives him the whole spiel. I don't want any drama here on Collision because apparently, you know, he's the king of Collision. So he doesn't want any drama. He doesn't want any drama on Collision, and Ryan's adding to that drama. So do they have a problem that they need to resolve outside? Nemeth is like, hey, let's not do this in front of all of the wrestlers. You know, so they go to the – and this is all from what I've just read. They go out – they go in the hallway. CM Punk's doing the whole thing. They sort of squash the beef on a handshake, but that still, you know, is a little iffy. And now I'm reading – Punk had issues with the spot that Jack Perry did, so he had to have a discussion with Jack Perry. So it's just like all this has happened, and then because of, like you said, Christopher Daniels was an innocent bystander in the whole brawl out situation, CM Punk's got beef with Christopher Daniels. But here's the thing, according to reports, Christopher Daniels is head of talent relations for AEW. So basically what that means, for those that don't know, is he's basically the middleman between the talent and Tony Khan. If the talent have an issue that they need to relay to Tony Khan, they probably first go to Christopher Daniels, and then Christopher Daniels, you know, relays that information to Khan. That's how the head of talent relations works. But for a talent to say, I don't want this person around, send them home. And then Tony Khan's like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever you want. And he sends his head of talent relations home because one talent doesn't like this person. What kind of message does that send, you know, to your
not
roster?
Good.
Not good. Not only that, Punk comes back. He cuts that first promo where he calls everybody soft and counterfeit bucks and all that stuff. As he's walking backstage, who's chanting his name, giving him the whole cheerleader thing? None other than Tony Khan. Like, okay, let's reel it back a little bit, Mr. Khan.
Yeah, like, you're his boss, not his fanboy.
Exactly. You're his boss. You are trying to run a business. And this is what is a big problem with Tony Khan and AEW is he's too friendly, you know.
He's too much of a fan,
right? Which is not a bad thing to be passionate about your product, and it's not a bad thing to be passionate about wanting to better the industry. But again, recognize that you are running a business. These are not your friends. These are coworkers.
Yeah.
They are your employees, and it's an okay as an employer to cultivate an environment where people feel like, hey, I'm going to work, but I actually like my job. And I think we're straying far away from that, because you have a guy that's supposed to be just talent. Nobody has regulated him the king of anything.
Yeah.
You know, but you're placating him as if he's an industry changer like Hulk fucking Hogan. And that's not the case. This guy is not Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's not The Rock. And he's had this issue plenty of times before, even in the WWE, where he tried to make himself the locker room leader and got laughed at for it. Chris Jericho tells that story, and it's available on the internet, where Punk tried to hold a locker room meeting and tried to come off as the locker room leader, and Booker T was like, you're not the fucking boss of me, buddy. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So he's always had this issue where he needs to be the boss. He needs to be the one in control. He needs that loyalty. He needs that sense of respect. That's why you see a lot of FTR. You see a lot of Ricky Starks. And the common denominator of that is they're the ones on the internet going, oh, no, Punk's a great guy. He's great for business. He's helping us make more money. Yeah, he's helping you, but he's actively holding others back because they just rub him the wrong way because his skin's not as thick as everybody else. You know, and this is the problem, and I know I'm ranting a little bit, but what bothers me is, as a fan, I was willing to give CM Punk the benefit of the doubt. While everybody was on the internet going, this guy's a cancer, this guy's poison, he's going to ruin everything, I was like, that's a little far-fetched. You know, like, I understand he said what he said at the press conference that got handled, but ever since he's come back, it's almost felt like he believes he's like a criminal that keeps committing crimes because they haven't been caught, so they feel invincible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like, he's doing all this shit, and then he's like, oh yeah, I'll just text Hangman and say, hey man, my bad, I want to keep this drama free. And that's clearly not the case.
No, it's just and at the very how to put this, it pretty much just starts and ends with Tony, because you need to, like you said, he needs to have that passion for wrestling is a great thing as a boss, but at the same time, you are also still a boss, not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can be both, but you need to know where that line is, and I feel like Tony doesn't know where that line is. I don't think anybody's ever chanted for one of their own employees backstage coming back. It's just so weird. Like, it's and I feel bad for, like, the newer talent, or like the lower card talent that has had no talking or breathing room whatsoever, like isn't like a big star, because I guarantee you now that feels like on Collision, especially you're walking on eggshells half the time, because it's like, oh God, if I make him mad, I'm just like, I'm not going to get on TV. I'm not going to like make money, then whatever. So it's like,
it's Ryan Nemeth. Like, no offense to him, but he's virtually harmless. Like, he tweeted something. Okay. Like, you know, like, you
it's not like Ricky Stark saying that. Like, it's, ugh, it's just like, like bully buddy. Behavior, like, almost.
It is. It's just like, again, like you said, if you want to create a drama-free environment, the first thing you don't do is create an environment where everyone is walking on eggshells.
Yeah, unless you're one of his boys, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, the FTR, the Ricky Starks, you know, like, it's just like, he's giving me those Jericho vibes, where Jericho makes it seem like without him, AEW would not exist. You know? And it's almost like Punk is like, well, Collision's doing so well, and that's because of me. You know, and I want to separate Collision from Dynamite, which makes no fucking sense at all. Like, it doesn't do anything for the overall product. This is not WWE, where they can separate the brands and do competition that way. No, it works for WWE because they're a global billionaire company. Yeah. Like, they're an entity that you aren't even the fraction of, you know? And it's just like, you guys, like, it's just not, is not good. It's not good, especially when you got All In coming up. Like,
yeah, silly thing that people are forgetting is that their biggest show of the year is literally 2 weeks away, and you couldn't just shut your fucking mouth until after that. Like, you think you might want to, you know, maybe not start this like right before the biggest show in wrestling history, supposedly. So, and it will. Let's be honest, it's going to break the record for WrestleMania 32. Like, it's going to. They're like a couple hundred tickets away at this point.
Yeah,
it's safe to say they're going to break the record. So it's just like, this is your company's biggest moment, and you could not just shut up for a few weeks. You couldn't even do that. So now, instead of people focusing on All In, which, I mean, we've said it time and time again, it's not like there's really a whole lot to fully focus on anyway, but the fact is no one is talking about that, because as usual, everyone's talking about, oh, hey, did you see the new Punk drama? Like, this is not what you're supposed to do weeks before your biggest show.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me that a man his age, you know, at this stage of his career, where he's no doubtably making millions, why not just fucking, you're hired to wrestle. They're not asking you to maintain the backstage morale or be this guy. They're not asking you to be talent,
because he's the last person you would want.
Yeah, it's just they brought you in to wrestle again, and this part falls on Tony Khan, where he has to be a boss. Like,
as
crazy as it sounds, you know, there's a reason you never heard about any of this, like with Vince McMahon, because Vince basically, he didn't play that. You know, he didn't play that shit. You're not going to sink my company. And trust me, plenty have tried, from the Ultimate Warrior, Jeff Jarrett. You know, the list goes on and on of guys who tried to hold the company hostage. And
yeah, they don't care.
They still keep kicking. This is just, you're creating a very unsafe, almost unethical working environment.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't even, and the thing that blows my mind too is the small little caveat of, apparently he still wants to work with the Elite. Like, let me just go and bury one of you on, I mean, obviously not live TV, but still enough in an area where people will still record it and talk about it on the internet. Hey, I still want to work with you guys, though. It's just like,
it's just like, if that's the case, hurry up and do it. Make the money again. Like I said, get your money up, not your funny up. You know,
because
this company, money is the key here. You know, of course you want to put on a great product. You want to give the fans the sense that they have something that's for them, not all that stuff. But none of that happens if you don't have any money. You know, and we all know, okay, the Khan family has a lot of money, but they don't want to sink all of it into All Elite Wrestling. That's just not going to happen. It's got to be a profitable business. It's just like, you're focusing on the wrong things. If there's issues, talk to the person, but also realize not everyone in this world is going to like you.
No.
You know? And even if you don't give them a reason to, you could be the nicest person in the world, you know, and respectful, and, you know, but some people are just not gonna like you. That's just the way it is. It sucks, you know, but that's the way it is. So a man the age of CM Punk at this stage of his career, like, let's grow some thicker skin here. Tony Khan, reel it in. Stop being a mark. Let's reel it in. Buckle down and be a boss, you know, like, be a boss, get shit in order, because this is like tiny little hairline fractures, but they have the potential to be some foundation cracking, you know, little cracks and crevices here.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just a mess. It's just one big mess. All right. So that was all of Mom's questions. So thank you, as always, for your feedback and whatnot. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mom.
So I don't know if Jack wanted us to bring this up on the show, but I did like when he sent in the me to Mr. Collision and his unhinged behavior, and it's a picture of Orange saying, "I'm so tired, Renee." Yeah, I was laughing at that at work for a good like 5 minutes, so I do like that. That was a little funny. Also, I just noticed, because sometimes I like, you know, scour on Twitter a little bit while we're looking. Did you see that Lacey Evans isn't with WWE anymore?
Yeah, she's done, apparently.
And to that I say, oh well. Don't yeah, care.
Yeah, I know you weren't the biggest fan of hers. I thought the Southern Belle gimmick was okay. I thought that had some legs to it that could have worked, but you know, at that point in time, WWE was so impatient with everything.
Yeah.
They couldn't let anything just kind of flesh out and do its own thing.
And so, everything after that went downhill. Yeah,
it was just bad. Like, remember at one point they were trying to do an angle where Ric Flair got her pregnant?
Yeah, that was Vince written all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, needless to say, also some of the things she posted about and liked and whatnot outside of wrestling, I'm like, you know what, I'm glad I don't have to deal with you anymore. So it's like, okay, you can go away. Like, I'm not upset in the least.
Her politics are a little too
puke inducing.
Yeah, they're a little off color, you know.
And
the way I see it is like, people are like that, there's not much you can do. But if you're in the public eye, you know, I wouldn't fuck up my money in that situation.
Like, no,
I'd keep my hateful ideologies to myself, you know, because
again, and stupid ideologies too.
Yeah, I mean, it's deplorable, it's awful, but I wouldn't sacrifice making my money and being able to pay my bills for it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, I hope she's happy like now.
You big doofus. Like, you know,
karma's a bitch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like those people you're cheering and propping up on your platform aren't gonna pay your bills. So like,
no, not at all. So after
good job
that
messing
whole
up your money.
Yeah, so after that whole mess, I'm gonna get into Jack's questions, and after the I'm so tired, which, how tired do you think we are? We're just as tired. What do we think of Toni Storm's new, I don't want to word, disgraced 1950s actress character?
I kind of like it.
It's so, I think at first I hated it, but now I'm just like, you know what? It's so fucking stupid. It's funny. So I'm like, you know what? Sure. Why not?
It's just like
unhinged.
It's so, yeah, it's unhinged. It's far-fetched. And like, I'm just waiting for her to just like clutch her pearls and faint on the air. Like,
like maybe she'll do that during the match.
And then when she threw her shoe at Lexi, I was just like, that's kind of good. She's lost it, because her losing the title kind of just came out of nowhere. And usually, like, there's some logic behind it. So it's almost like you hit the panic button. Like, oh, what's Toni going to do now? And, like, she's morphed into this character, like you said, this disgraced 1950s actress who's just, like, who's always had a tough break and things never go her way, but it's never her fault. It's always somebody else's fault, you know? And, like, she berates everybody around her except for the outcast. And like, I don't know if you saw the TikTok, there was a fan that was at Rampage, and they were like, they were kind of like heckling the outcast, and like Toni comes over and she's just like, sit down, and he's like, yes ma'am, like he completely folded like right there live on the TikTok. It was great stuff. So
as
like,
most do actually,
I would have done the same, you know. So it's just like, it works for me. I like it.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, I swear to God, if she wears that robe at Wembley during the match, I'm leaving. Like, I definitely didn't like it at first, but the more I've seen it, I'm like, all right, it's funny. Again, it's one of those that's so stupid, it's funny, so I'll take it. I mean, God knows we're not going to get any more improvement from the Outcasts at this rate. So you know what? Why not, right? Like, set Ruby free, please. That's all I want. All right, so we talked about this a little bit. Our thoughts on Rob Van Dam versus Jack Perry. We thought it was pretty good. It still impresses me how RVD can still go at 52 years old. Like, it's impressive.
Yeah. And everybody's kind of like making a big deal, like, oh, how could you do that to WWE? It's like,
well, yeah, please.
What are they gonna do with RVD? Like, you know,
literally, like
it's not like he's on TV every week or anything like that.
He's probably not under contract with them, so it's like, what do you want? Like,
at best, he has a Legends contract. You know,
yeah,
but like it's just like he's RVD. Like,
you know, just shut up.
Yeah, it's just
touch the grass. Please go touch the grass. We're begging you, because Jesus, you people find a reason to complain about anything at this rate. Like, God's sake. Will Billy Gunn make a return? I have a very bad feeling, and I hope. I feel like you might share this too, and I almost don't even want to talk it into existence, but I just feel like it might happen. I have a terrible feeling that the Acclaimed are going to like bring Billy out of retirement, and they're going to make this triumphant return and fucking beat House of Black for the Trios titles, which I really hope's not the case. Leave the House of Black alone. They're doing just fine. They had a very good match with Collision, which I expected nothing less. That was a very good match. Leave them alone, please. Let them have the titles from now until eternity. Like, I don't want them to lose them, but I feel like he has to come back. It'd be very weird if he didn't.
Yeah, because there was nothing leading up to the idea that he was going to retire. No. So it's just like, it happened, and people.
Besides the fact Malakai just seems to force people into retirement, I guess. Just ask Cody.
Yeah, but also remember, like, after the match, like, Malakai, like, leaned in and whispered something into his ear. Uh-huh. You know, so that was a little weird. Like, you know, so, like you said, I fully assume, like, he's probably going to come back. I'm in agreeing with you, like, with the whole House of Black situation. Like, they're one of the more solid acts in AEW in the sense that anytime they're on TV, they're going to give you one of the better performances of the night.
Oh, you know?
And they just have this vibe, you know.
They're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it's like everything just works well together. The four of them as an entity just work, you know. And it's just pure, believable dominance, you know. It's just like that three-headed monster of attack between Buddy, Brody, and Malakai. It's just, you know, so I feel like, losing to the Acclaim, if Billy comes back, will kind of just, like, they'll get the pop, you know, the positive yay response from the crowd.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, where do they go from here? Then that puts House of Black on the back burner when they're your more popular acts. It's just a lot of moving pieces there.
Yeah, House of Black don't know how to have a bad match. That's just like how good they are. My favorite thing, I don't know if it's yours too, my favorite thing during their matches, especially when it's more of those like convincing, like, oh, you absolutely know they're going to steamroll this team kind of match, is where they do that thing where it's like rapid fire, like Brody will have a devastating move and Buddy will have a devastating move and then like Malakai, and it's just like 1, 2, 3, like it's just rapid fire and they just mow through people, and I love it. And again, are we biased? Yes, but it's also very hard to argue with us because they're just that damn good.
Yeah,
please just keep the titles on them. That's all we want.
Yeah, I mean, Malakai is definitely one of, if not my current favorite wrestler, just because, like, his style.
Yeah.
You know, his in-ring style where he brings in that kickboxing background. Mm-hmm. And all of his strikes are just believable. They hit with force. You know, and he physically dissects them, but he also mentally dissects them in his aura, in his presence, you know, the way
that face
he
paint.
The corpse face paint from this past Collision was just phenomenal. He's just a dude that his mind artistically, creatively is on a different plane, you know.
Oh yeah. I always said he's one of the most creative minds in wrestling. Like,
yeah, it's on a very dark, you know, creative plane, but you have to kind of appreciate that darkness. So it's a really cool thing. So I'm all in on them keeping the belts on House of Black.
I completely agree. And also, can we please see Julia wrestle some more?
Yeah, that'd be great. She's great.
Yeah, like her thing with Anna Jay was really good, and I expected to see more, and then it was just like, okay, yeah, no, she's back to being a manager. And it's like, okay, cool, I guess. Yeah, no, she needs to wrestle some more because you can tell she's improving with those three. Like, you have those three as your teachers. How could you not improve? Like, come on. Right. Yeah. So, needless to say, we want them to be champions until the end of time because we can. All right, so this is a very good question because I don't know the answer to it. Did they drop the whole Shotzi angle? I don't know.
She hasn't been on SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's been a week. It's been at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Because she was doing the thing with Bayley, and now Io comes out and. Yeah, that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I completely forgot about Shotzi and her haircut. You know. I hope they revisit it back, because like that's the thing. Like I noticed about even on Raw last night is they've integrated a little bit of a fresh face in there, and like we don't see Shotzi on a consistent basis. Where like. You know, you could probably lob her up, you know, at least one program, one little feud, you know,
and
see where you can go. It really would not hurt because, you know, you have all this time, you know, now like the report is that they're going to cool off on the Bloodline stuff for a little bit.
And now you can take a break now, finally.
Yeah. And everybody else has a chance to step up their game and elevate their performance so they can be more prominent on TV. So, you know, hopefully they revisit that back with Shotzi and she could be one of those benefactors from that.
That would be nice. And it's just like, you know what? I hope those fans that were like making fun of her for shaving her head finally are just like karma gets comes for them. Cause it's just like,
there were people making fun of her.
Oh, yeah. They're just like, why is she shaving her head? This is so fucking stupid, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, maybe if you actually, like, paid attention, you would kind of know why, but you just choose to be an asshole on the internet, because, you know,
Read the room, you know, like...
Yeah, I can't do that, obviously. When the other wrestlers literally had to come to her defense and be like, this is why she shaved her head, like, stop talking, maybe, you know, that fun little thing. You don't always have to have something to say, like, shut the fuck up. Like... Yeah. I hope Shotzi does get a chance too. She is a really good wrestler, so I would like to see more of it. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is something I know you and I can both rant about. So the whole Trish Stratus Becky Lynch feud has been built since before WrestleMania 39, and to just have a lame count out fake finale is disrespectful to the work they have put in. Yeah. Like that. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt where it was like, okay, at least, and we even talked about it last time when we were like yelling about why they took it off the card. If you were going to give it enough time on a Raw, I would rather have had that than like, let's just speed through this 10 minute match at SummerSlam. Fine, whatever. That's what you gave us? That's it?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I mean, the match... As it went on, I was just like, eh, like, this is okay.
Well, the crowd didn't help either. That crowd was terrible. Like, it was so bad.
They weren't feeling it, but I was like, oh, this is okay. And then, like, they did the count out, and I was just like, oh, that's just kind of, like, that makes everything so unimportant.
Yeah. You know?
It makes everything so unimportant. I feel like doing a count out finish is kind of lazy, you know?
It's leaning
on a crutch.
Yeah. Like, You could have just kept building it up until Payback next month in Pittsburgh, obviously. which I will say, surprisingly, I'm not going to be at because ticket prices are a little too insane for a pay-per-view, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, the problem is that they kind of use the fact that they haven't had a premium live event in Pittsburgh in 5 years, so they were able to then make upper level seats $100. So no. If I could get tickets cheaper for fucking WrestleMania than I could for my own hometown pay-per-view, I mean, come on. So now we're just having a watch party in my apartment with some friends, but just the fact that it's like you could have done something there, like guys, it was right there. You had enough time to put that on that card, and you just what are we doing?
It's just like, I think the reason they didn't put it on the Payback card is because then they would need to do another 3-4 weeks of explaining, continuing the story. And I feel like fans already just like, get it over with. Like, let's move on.
Yeah, their timing was terrible with this whole thing.
Yeah, it just like, people were already kind of like, they were looking for the finale of this whole situation between Becky and Trish.
Yeah.
And WWE has extended it, and this is one of those things where extending it is kind of backfiring because already the fans are just like, I'm over it already, you know?
Yeah, it's just like
people are like, put him in a hell in a cell, and then maybe we'll care about it. But they need something drastic at this point.
Yeah, it's, and at this rate, I don't think it's going to happen. So it's just a shame that they dropped the ball this bad on something that had the potential to be very good. Like,
right.
It was right there. It was right there, guys. Like,
yeah, see, WWE has faults too, you know?
Oh, they're, yeah. They're not perfect. The women's tag division, for one. Like,
yeah, I, speaking of that, I don't know if we do have a question about
we
that.
Do.
We do? Okay, so I'll save it for the question.
Yeah, we have it in a couple of questions. yeah, that was that's a whole other point of contention, but I will save that for the questions. So I believe that is all of Jack's questions, so thank you as always.
Thank you, Jack.
Let me just double check so I don't miss anything. Okay, yeah, so we're good. So now we're going to go on to our last question of the night that come from Mike. And his first one I thought was rather interesting because we just talked about this guy first thing on the show. So Mike knows Bubba Ray Dudley thinks he's a great mind for the business. Why do you think he hasn't been hired by the big two, essentially WWE or AEW? I don't know, to be honest. Because I guess he's still kind of with Impact, isn't he?
Yeah, like he I'm sure if WWE or AEW offered him an exclusive position, he'd probably take it. He does have obviously he's been in the business for so long.
Yeah.
You know, he has a brilliant mind. He's done ECW, he's done WWE, he's done Impact. You know, he did TNA when they were in their downtime. So he's been all across the board. Maybe like his, I don't want to say this because I don't really know the guy, but like maybe his personality, like, you know, like,
yeah, he can be a little abrasive.
Maybe the way he would communicate with the talent that's, you know, 20, 30 years younger than him might come off, like you say, you know, a little abrasive.
Prickly,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, again, like we said, you want to cultivate an environment where people not necessarily have to be excited to come to work, but you don't want them hating their job, you know?
No, we don't want that.
Yeah, an employee that hates their job is just like, they have nothing to lose at that point. Why would they do their job, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and this is all about passion and wanting to do the job to your best of your ability. So it's like, again, you don't want to create that hostile environment. I think he's a little bit maybe too old school.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you know, I could see that.
I feel like there's not a lot of old school contemporaries that are looking at the new school and everybody that's doing their thing and you know, at least giving him a nice rub and, you know, kind of trying to elevate them, because I feel like, but again, this is in any situation, you know, where this is multi-generational, the generation of the past is not necessarily going to appreciate what the future generation is doing. And that's all facets of entertainment. And, you know, there's stories about it in wrestling, how, you know, the wrestlers from the 50s didn't like what people like Harley Race was doing, you know, like, yeah. So it's like, it's a long history of just the old generation generally being haters, you know?
Yeah, the generational gap's usually a problem.
Yeah. But again, as far as Bully Ray, like, I don't know why he's not being used by the big companies. But again, you don't want to have too many people shooting ideas at you, you know? Because again, I've said it before on the show, like, wrestler's ego. If you have a wrestler that's an agent that's working backstage with the talent, and, you know, they're going over ideas, a wrestler, you know, an older wrestler presents their idea, but nobody's feeling it, so they go to the next thing. A lot of older wrestlers hold that as resentment.
Yeah.
You know, that wrestler's ego, like, oh, these young cats don't want to listen to my ideas. They don't want to take it from an old head like me, you know, and that has happened before. And again, that creates resentment, hostile environment, stuff like that. So I'd rather them keep it the way they have it, you know, minimize it at best, especially for AEW being such a young company, and Tony Khan really doesn't know how to navigate with people presenting ideas and him going, I don't know if that would work for me, you know?
Yeah, let's not, you know, just... Let's not continue to make toxic wrestling environments, can we? Please? Thank you. Rather not. Why didn't Mike see either of us apply to Chelsea's Got Talent? You know, I just have a very tight schedule. I just didn't have the time. I'm sorry, Mike. We owe you.
If I would have applied, she would have picked me, and then I would have gotten hired by WWE, which would have meant I probably couldn't do this podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, this podcast is more important to me.
He did it to save the show. I did it I didn't do it because I don't have a schedule. So it's like, it's fine.
Yeah, we have our reasons. But salute to Piper Niven. At least it's somebody they kind of put in that place, you know, just somebody new. Somebody who hasn't had TV time. I would have personally loved if they would have extended this Chelsea's Got Talent sort of audition deal to find a new partner. I think it would have been very entertaining TV, and it would have worked because, again, it's not like AEW's case where they're using all their funny time with their world champion who's supposed to be in a serious battle holding on to this championship. So, again... Get your money up, not your funny up.
All yeah, right. Yeah. But funny enough, Mike's next question was, what were our thoughts on Piper Niven pairing with Chelsea? He's glad they didn't strip her of the titles, but he's also not crazy about just putting someone with her and then calling them a champ. Not that there's really a better option. I agree. It's like, I guess, the best case scenario, but at least... You have, if they hold on to the titles that long, is like the caveat here, you have like a built-in storyline where when Sonya comes back, I guess regardless of if they have the titles or not, she can still kind of have a problem with Chelsea being like, well, you just went ahead and just replaced me. Like, you could have just been the champ, like the champs by yourself. Like, why do you have to replace me with whoever? And I mean, that could work, but... Yeah, they didn't really have a lot of options, so it's like, I guess, at least it finally gets Piper back on TV, so I'm not going to complain about that, but, yeah, it was just the best they could do in that situation, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where it's like you said, I mean, it's what they made with what they had, and it's like, it's not really offensive, like, you don't look at Piper Niven and go, ugh. I don't want to see her on my TV. You know, it's just like, okay, well, it can't get any worse, you know? Like, you know.
Could be even Marie. Like, think of it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's, you know, at best, let's give it a shot and see where it goes. But again, it would be weird if all of this happens and Piper and Chelsea go on to finally have that reign that yeah. they've been desperately trying to have with these women's tag team titles, which probably is cursed. It's definitely cursed. Somebody put a curse on it.
Danhausen,
Isla Dawn, I'm looking at you, Danhausen. You're on my witness list. You know, I'm coming after everybody now.
Yeah, we need answers. We need to go on an investigation of what happened with these titles, because
this is crazy. Christ. Somebody call Fandango and Tyler Breeze to.
Yeah, we need some help because I just hope they go on a decent run. Like the titles deserve that much. Let's be honest, because good God, it's just a mess.
I agree.
All right, we kind of did. Obviously, we talked about this at length earlier. Thoughts on Punk's post-collision comments on Hangman. Plain and simple, shut the fuck up. Please just shut the fuck up.
It's unnecessary. It's
2 weeks away from your biggest show, and you can't just be quiet.
It's so what was the end game there, buddy? If it's not leading to anything.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Stop being so thin-skinned, please. Go to therapy. Do something. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't understand how you can be a millionaire and create this sort of drama for yourself.
Because I got nothing better to do, apparently. I don't know. It's just a whole mess. And the worst part is you and I both know we're going to have more to talk about next week, because I'm sure something else is going to happen, and it's just going to be a fucking shit show after another shit show. And
it's like one of those signs that says days since last workplace
incident. Yeah, literally.
You know,
so days since last Punk meltdown.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so tired, Eric. Words of Orange. I'm so tired. Yeah, whatever. All right. So we'll round out with a very unique question, I must say. Who are our best and worst wrestling commentators on Twitter? Not journalists like Sean Ross Sapp. So, for example, Mike's best is Vince McMahon Man, and the worst is JD from New York 206. Yeah, that one's pretty bad. Christ. As someone who is on Twitter a lot during the day, I would have to say I think the two that I always end up seeing on my Twitter, even though I feel like I may only follow one of them, if not both, but I'd say Crispy Wrestling and let me see if I can find Humble Wrestling too. Those two, I enjoy their commentary because I'm not completely disgusted by it, and I'm just not they're just complaining about everything. They actually find the positives in things, so I like that. Worst. Usually I tend to ignore the worst. I don't see it a lot, but I feel like the one that just sticks out in my mind because I just remember how obnoxious they were was iBeast.
Who's that again?
iBeast.
iBeast.
Yeah, I think he was they were a super Roman Reigns fanboy or something. I don't know. I honestly just, like I said, I try to tune out the ones that I'm if I really just don't vibe with how you're acting, I just ignore it on Twitter. But, I do remember the few tweets I did see with him. It's just do you have anything not obnoxious to say? Please stop. But JD from New York's pretty bad too, so that one that one would take the cake. But yeah, I'd say Crispy Wrestling and Humble Wrestling are probably my two favorites, because I actually don't mind seeing their tweets on my Twitter account. So yeah, they get my stamps of approval.
Yeah. This was actually a tough question for me, because at my old, cranky stage of my life, I have a very low tolerance for bullshit. So yeah. It's hard to find a good Twitter account that offers good commentary, like Mike said. So I don't have a very extensive list. I'm going through my following now. Most of my following is just verified professional wrestlers. Like,
yeah,
it's not even, it's not like I have a couple random ones, but a good one, like, I'm just seeing, I recently followed at Local Soundwave. That person's very entertaining with their tweets about wrestling. A good friend that I follow on my personal account that's also a wrestling fan, Ugly New York, he kind of gives like a cultured vibe to what his takes on professional wrestling is, because we both come from the same area. We're both New Yorkers and things like that. So I kind of identify with guys like that. Like, but again, it's hard for me to find a good Twitter account to follow based on their commentary, because like overall you find one thing and you're just like, ugh, like this person could be overly negative, or their takes just don't make any sense. Like that's the dangers. Like it's funny, it's when I started first using Twitter back in like 2010, 2011, like, you know, it took a while to develop a following. Like if you had a following of like 2,000 followers, you were like big time. Like people were tuning into like what you had to say because you had something of value to say. Now it's like 2,000 followers ain't shit, you know? Like,
yeah, try again.
Yeah, it's nothing. So it's all, everybody has differing opinions, and they tend to not realize that that wrestling is subjective. Like what one person might like or dislike might not apply to another person, and that should be okay. It's okay.
Yeah, but you would think.
Yeah, so finding a good Twitter account in terms of wrestling commentary is highly, highly difficult. In terms of the bad ones, the bad ones are so easy.
I feel like, how much time do we have?
Yeah, it's so easy to find. I mean, from the ones that like to point out AEW botches, those are pretty bad. I hate those accounts. Those are dumb.
Yeah.
The wrestling elitist accounts, like Rover is what I consider the creme de la creme of wrestling elitists, and I hate follow Rover, you know, like,
yeah,
he would be I most people, if they reach the annoying levels that I have reached reading his tweets, they would probably mute, unfollow, block. But it's like,
yeah,
I do this to myself. Like it's like a self punishment. Like I have to recognize. Mm-hmm. I told you this before. It's like if we mute, block, all unfollow all these people, that is your God-given right. You would be able to do whatever you want. But I feel like it like shuts off our ability to recognize that people like that exist. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so we're like, when it happens, we're like, oh my God, how can this happen? How can this person be this way? And that's kind of like what Rover is. He just like he likes to come off as an insider guy who gets a lot of scoops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
He likes to use a lot of big words, you know, on his tweets, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
He's from Ireland, so he has a deep disdain for Americans. He doesn't like Americans. He likes to call us Yanks and stuff like that. And like he does this thing a lot that I realize, like he'll take a scenario that's happening currently in wrestling and try to use something that happened in the past that has no real correlation to what's going on. He's one of those where it's like he has to come off as a snob. And like, all you have to do a Twitter search of Rovert and you'll see a whole bunch of like people's takes on. The guy is just, he's insufferable. He's just insufferable.
Yeah, that pompous kind of attitude I can't stand.
Yeah, exactly. But again, I follow him because in my brain, the weird way that my brain works is if I don't recognize that people like this exist, when I do am confronted by such behavior, it shocks me, and it shouldn't shock me. Like, I should know that people like this exist. So it's like, again, it's like self-punishment, hate follow, you know, just to watch the stupidity of Rover.
Yeah, it's just Christ. A lot of bad takes on Twitter, but you know what? Also, I didn't want to say this one either because I feel like it's kind of cheating because they're an actual wrestler. But if we just go by like Twitter followers in general, like Nyla Rose is easily one of the best like Twitter followers you could ever have because she is just fucking hilarious.
She is. She's there. I don't know if you. I gotta find that clip. Damn it! I wish I would have saved it. But there's a clip where she's doing commentary with Evil Uno at one of Evil Uno's like live shows where he's like,
yeah,
you know, wrestling and doing commentary and running the show. And they did a spot where, like, one of the wrestlers was dressed in this outfit, gets bonked on the head, and Nyla Rose completely fucking loses it. Like, she couldn't speak. She was laughing so hard. And, like, her laughing had me laughing. It was – I got to find that clip because it was – and I got to send it to you because it's
Please
just
do.
Phenomenal stuff. Yeah, it's phenomenal stuff. It's great stuff. But Nyla's super funny. I like funny accounts like that. Like Stokely, obviously.
Oh, God. I think Stokely's a mess.
Stokely, in terms of wrestling Twitter, probably one of the top Twitter accounts. Just because yeah. everything, like this guy is just funny. And like I study, besides wrestling, I study a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. I like to listen to like a lot of comedy, stand-up comedy, and it's very hard to be organically funny this day and age because everything it seems like everybody's pushing to be viral, you know,
yeah.
like they're chasing that viral moment, you know, instead of being organically funny. With Stokely, man, he just writes and posts the most insane things. Like, it's just like he's a comedic genius. His comedic timing is ridiculous.
Just looking at some of his tweets, it's just like, I can't believe he just said that. I can't believe he just did that. Like, he is insane, but like the best way possible. So yeah, him and Nyla are definitely two of like the best like wrestling Twitter followers, but
yeah,
you gotta laugh sometimes because if you see some of those other accounts, like you mentioned, it's just like depressing. So you kind of just have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it's you know, you're supposed to have fun. You're not supposed to, you know, it's not to offend everyone, you know, just like,
yeah.
again, it feels like everybody's chasing that I want to go viral sort of situation.
Logan Paul.
You know, but again, like, I mean, you could say like Logan Paul, but I mean, that's what he does. And he's not really doing like, I'm not saying he's not going viral with being in WWE, he probably is, but it's because he knows it. He knows
yeah.
the game. He knows the algorithms and things like that. While everybody else, 98% of the world that's not in Logan Paul's circle, they're all chasing the want to go viral. It's a chase. You know, it's a rat race almost.
Yeah.
You know, and,
essentially.
And again, yeah, and again, you can kind of sniff out how inauthentic. How not genuine it is, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you can see it coming from a mile away. It's nothing authentic about it. It's just terrible.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I do believe we did it. I think we did all the questions. Yeah, we did it.
We did it. A lot of ranting, a lot of pointing out the negatives that are going on. But, you know, sometimes that is necessary in this game. Like
yeah.
we can't put blinders on and assume everything is great because I feel like that's how you end up with the situation like what's going on with MJF and Adam Cole. It's like
yeah.
they're reacting positively, so we have to push it. But again, I'm not gonna go on a rant about that. Like I've gone on plenty of rants. It's just again, I hope that AEW can fix this in less than 2 weeks' time to get the ship back on their side. To promote All In, and then not to forget the very next week, for some reason they have All Out as well. You know, so it's going to be a big couple weeks, and not only for wrestling, but for us, because we're after this episode, we'll be 5 episodes away from number 100, where we're doing something completely different, completely out of the box. But we'll slowly give you the details, probably starting next week.
We didn't
discuss that in the pre-production, but I figured that was the plan that we're going to go with to talk about what's going on for episode 100. And yeah, so it's tons of fun.
Yeah, can't wait for it. It's I'm excited about that episode too. I think it'll be something nice and new just to shake things up a little bit.
nice and different, which I'm all about. But real quick, want to let you guys know where you can stay updated with the podcast, where you can be a part of the show, send in your questions, because again, we are one of the only or very few wrestling podcasts that are completely listener question and answer based, where instead of just doing what everybody else is doing and going through recaps and talking that way, we open up the ability for anybody that's listening to send in some questions, and we take the show that way. The way to do that is to follow us on Twitter. Yes, I'm still calling it Twitter. I'm not calling it X. It's called Twitter. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram if you want some cool wrestling pictures in your Instagram feed. They're both the same handle. So follow us at Ringside Rundown. Again, that's where you can find updates about the show, new episodes, tweets about sending in questions, all that stuff. You know, it's at Ringside Rundown on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to follow me for my daily musings when it comes to professional wrestling, you can follow me at Wrestling Chron. That's wrestling C-H-R-O-N. Shay, where can I get in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHixon21, where my daily musings and ramblings are about pretty much anything you can think of. I mean, today I was yelling about WrestleMania tickets, but it can be hockey, it could be football, that's coming up soon. A ton of things. So if you're looking for a wild time, just look at the wide array of my Twitter feed.
Yeah, give her a follow. It's a good time on her Twitter, so definitely give her a follow. Again, follow us at Ringside Rundown on Twitter and Instagram. This podcast, wherever you're listening to it, we thank you for listening to it. It's available on all the major podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, a Google Podcast, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. If you so happen to come across this podcast but can't find it on your platform of choice, don't worry. Send us a DM on Twitter. Again, that's at Ringside Rundown, and we will deliver a link to the podcast of your platform choice on a silver platter. But the caveat is you have to give us that silver platter back because it's expensive. We only have one. Somebody tried to rob us, but I had to send some friends to take out their kneecaps. We won't go any further from that. But again, if you need help finding a podcast on whatever platform you prefer, don't worry. DM us and we'll find you a link to that platform. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with another glorious episode. It will be episode 94. Jeez. So again, we're closing in on 100 episodes. Somebody calculate the hours that it would take to listen to our voices. It would be insane.
Too many.
It would be insane. Yeah, but thank you guys for listening. We shall see you next week. For Shay Hickson, my name is Eric Vasquez. You guys have a good one.
See you later, guys.